Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to meditate today on the gospel lesson. It's from John chapter 17, the second half of verse 11 through verse 19. Printed in your worship folder is the New International Version, 1984 edition. And I'm going to read from the translation we're working on, which we call the Wartburg Project. It's my privilege to translate this Gospel of John last year, and now it's gone through a technical review, and I'm one of the editors working on the popular reviews. So still in the works, but this is John 17, beginning at verse 11b. Holy Father, protect them by your name, which you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I kept those you gave me safe in your name. I protected them, and not one of them was destroyed, except the son of destruction, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I am saying these things in the world, so that they may be filled with my joy. I have given them your word. The world hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I am not asking that you take them out of the world, but that you strengthen them from the evil one, protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, so they also may be sanctified by the truth. The gospel of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our brother, Savior, best and truest friend, dear family of God. In the April edition of our Wells magazine called Forward in Christ, Pastor Stephen Luchterhand wrote an article. And the last paragraph sets up this sermon text so beautifully. Let me read that to you. If our home galaxy, the Milky Way, were scaled down to the size of the entire continent of North America, our solar system would fit in a coffee cup. Somewhere in that coffee cup are the planets, the sun, and you and me. It would seem that our prayers are at best infinitesimally small. But to the Father's ears, they are big prayers, important prayers of his children who belong to him through Jesus. Speak freely. Your Father hears and answers. If our prayers as children of God are so big to our Heavenly Father, think of how infinitely loved are the prayers of God's eternal Son, Jesus Christ, who has now ascended to God's right hand. We celebrated the ascension 40 days after Easter, which was this last Thursday, and now intercedes for us, praying constantly for his disciples. What we have before us today in this text from John chapter 17 is called Jesus' high priestly prayer or sacerdotal prayer. As God's own Son is praying for us, he is reminding us of this awesome truth that we are sent by the Savior in love, and he is praying for our protection. I was at a wedding reception once where a woman was going on and on about her son having so many blessings from a coach that he'd had in high school. I listened a while, and then I finally asked her, was that Coach Lemke, perhaps? Carl Lemke? And her eyes lit up. She said, yeah, how did you know? He was my coach, at least for my senior year in high school. I wish everybody could have at least one experience like that in sports with a coach that just had that certain something. It can't be quantified, and I don't think it can be taught. It's that ability to get players to play beyond what they thought they had and always give more of themselves than they thought was in there. The coach we had had before just would show us videos all the time. That was my first 3 years of high school. One video after another about you can do it if you try hard enough. It's kind of like if a kid would come to his pastor, I'm talking about a grade schooler afraid for his faith, and that pastor telling him to just say over and over again, I believe, I believe, I believe. That's putting your faith in yourself. A good coach will take you outside yourself. And Jesus did not do that to his disciples, point them inside. This beautiful prayer, our Lord's high priestly prayer, takes them outside of themselves. And he's been doing this for several chapters in the gospel account that the Holy Spirit inspired through John. Remember, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the synoptics. They see with the same optics, many of the same miracles, same pattern in Jesus' ministry. But the Holy Spirit inspired John to write much later and fill in many of the gaps. And among those were the discourses of our Lord Jesus in John 13, 14, 15, 16, and then this prayer in 17. Maundy Thursday, command Maundy Thursday, the mandate Thursday. Jesus teaches them to love one another as I have loved you, and he also gives them the commands of Lord's Supper. But if Jesus had done that to his disciples, turning them inside on themselves, we would be missing how Jesus poured out his love for his disciples in that basin of water to wash their feet. Poured out his love in John 14 with this comfort that, yes, he was going away, but he was going to the cross for their salvation. John 15, we had a couple of sermons from that where the Lord strengthened them with the idea that stay in me as the branch on the vine, you will bear much fruit. It's to the Father's glory that you bear much fruit. In chapter 16, giving them that blessed assurance that their grief would turn to joy. And now, instead of telling them to look at themselves, our dear Lord Jesus lets them hear him pray to our Father in heaven and know what's going on between God the Eternal Son and God the Eternal Father. And the Holy Spirit brings this to our hearts in a way that is just so encouraging, because you're sent by the Savior who, as he is praying that you would be protected by God's love. So he says in those opening verses, Holy Father, protect them by your name which you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I kept those you gave me safe in your name. I protected them, and not one of them has been destroyed, and so forth. So I was protecting them. This is one of the places where the old NIV, the NIV 84, could have learned some lessons about translating the Greek. There's a word that comes up again and again in the gospel lessons, and John in particular, the word is tereo, and it literally means bring to the goal, but it means to treasure or to guard. And the old NIV constantly translated obey, obey, obey. That's a transferred meaning. To guard is the primary meaning. And they did the same thing when Jesus said, blessed are they who hear the word of God. Remember, King James said, and keep it. Well, the new NIV, the old NIV said, and obey it. They did improve this in NIV 11. It was one of the things that I was happy to see, because they translated to keep. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. But American ears, modern English, you hear keep, you hear obey. The heart and core of this is to treasure God's word and to guard it from your own sinful opinions and the opinions of the world as your best treasure. It's why with our new members, we have Bible information classes, so you don't just learn the facts. We're not just throwing dogma at people. This is God's truth. It's our joyous treasure to know Jesus as our Savior. And anything that corrupts God's truth somehow puts work righteousness in there and will take away your confidence. So Jesus is praying, protect them. Protect them. And he gives the secret how he does this. It's kind of a strange thing for this traveling preacher to say when he is about to be betrayed. In fact, being betrayed at this time, he's going to be arrested, condemned, crucified, brutally murdered by the religious establishment and the political authorities, and he's promising protection? How is he going to do that? How is the Heavenly Father going to protect Jesus' disciples when he let his son be crucified so brutally like that? The secret is there in what the Lord said twice. Did you catch that? Holy Father, protect them by your name. The name which you gave me so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I kept those you gave me safe in your name. Anybody's name is their reputation. If you have a good name, you have a good reputation. When God puts his name on us in our baptism, you belong to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and now his reputation is all wrapped up in how you do. If the Lord does not guard you and take care of you and hear your prayers as he has promised, if he does not protect you, he looks bad. He won't have that. His reputation means that much to him. Because as Jesus says, these are the ones you gave me. Anybody that's been a teacher or a coach knows that there's a big thrill in seeing your students or your players go on to do other things. For me, on Thursday evening at St. John, Minneapolis, at the area Ascension service to see a former student of mine preaching as the Wells Director of World Missions. That was a big thrill. It's a blessing that God has given me, even though my part of his education, pretty tiny and small, sophomore English and first year German for the juniors, that was it. Many other teachers. But if you've been able to teach or coach, you know that it's still a thrill. Because they're yours and you belong to them. There's some connection there that the Lord has given. And here's Jesus who has been taking care of the disciples all this time, teaching them for 3 solid years. They're the ones you gave me, Father, and your name is all wrapped up in them. So protect them by that name. You want to see how determined the Lord is on his reputation? Go back to Exodus 32. That'll take you out to the desert at Mount Sinai with Moses. He's up 40 days on the mountain getting the 10 commandments from the Lord, and the Israelites are down there worshiping the golden calf. Remember that? The Lord wants to destroy his own people. Moses pleaded with the Lord, twisted his arm in a sense, by appealing to the Lord's reputation. Moses basically asked the Lord, "What will the Egyptians say? That you didn't have the power to do anything except lead them out into the desert and kill them here because you couldn't get them to the promised land?" It says the Lord relented, did not bring on them the disaster that he had promised. And you, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, can come to the Father in Jesus' name. And he told us that in the last few sermons. You can ask for anything in his name, as long as it's for your good. I mean, you know, he might have a better idea. That's why we say, "Thy will be done." I don't want something that's going to strip me of my faith. But as long as it's for your good, he loves to bless. He loves to bless beyond what we can ask or imagine because his name is all wrapped up in that. Even this what might seem so strange, is actually evidence of God's power in our protection. He says, "I protected them, and not one of them was destroyed except the son of destruction, so that the scripture might be fulfilled." Jesus knew from the start who would betray him. He knew that Judas would do that. He knew the decision that Judas would come to sell his Lord for 30 pieces of silver. It's not that God willed that Judas fall. It's not like he was locked into that because of the Holy Scriptures. That was his decision. He brought that destruction on himself. We human beings have this scary ability to to reject God in so many ways and try to find, you know, a million paths, but they all lead to hell. There's only one that leads to heaven. Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me. Judas chose the money over his Lord. He made that decision. And so you can't say that that was God that caused that. As James tells us in his epistle, God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Jesus was trying to rescue Judas from that all during his ministry. You can see it in the upper room. You see it in the Garden of Gethsemane. If Judas had repented as Peter repented, he too would have been a wonderful example of the Lord's grace and mercy, like Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul, the missionary of the Gentiles, Peter, and you and me. All forgiven, the sins of our minds, our hearts, the things we know about, the things we don't know about, the things we were supposed to do and just didn't get done. Sins of commission, sins of omission, and every one a blot on God's holiness. In James it says, if you keep the whole law and yet you stumble in just one point, you're guilty of breaking all of it. God's law is like a window. You can't break just part of it. It's broken. So you could live your whole life absolutely just, I mean, theoretically, down the line, you know, right with God in everything you did and thought and felt, and then that flickering moment of lust or discontent right before you died, and you'd be damned. That's what the law says. That's God's holiness. But he did not want to leave us in that. He knew very well how we would all be lost. So from eternity, he planned to send his Son, eternal Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, to come as the Word of God made flesh and live a perfect life in people's place. Then when he died his innocent death, that precious holy blood could wash away the sins of all people. That's the good news. There are no exceptions. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them. I can tell you, as we had in the confession and absolution before, this is the Lord's forgiveness. No exceptions, not from people, and no exceptions from sins. In Christ, when you trust in him as your Savior, you are perfect and holy in God's sight. And that righteousness of Christ belongs to you because of your baptism. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he talks about that as a cleansing by the Holy Spirit. So how could God, who gives us that baptism, leads us to faith in Jesus, makes us hear his word, go to Sunday school, hear the confirmation lesson, stand before God and be confirmed, how could he then let you be lost? God won't have it. Judas' mistake was not mixing his hearing with faith. And Jesus says, you remain in my word, my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That word of God will always protect your soul. And you won't be lost, because Jesus is praying for our protection, and he is also empowering our sanctified witness. Can you imagine a championship team that only wants to play grade schoolers all the time? Doesn't make sense, does it? It's kind of like urban cowboys who drive these huge trucks that never go off-road. They never carry a heavy load. They never take a mud bath. It's just a big truck. Or imagine a championship racehorse that never gets ridden. You know, just make it walk around following you and feed it carrots and just let it get fat and lazy. Reminds me of my grandma's horses when I was a teenager. The only time those horses ran was when she was on her way out to the barn. They'd follow her while she's riding on her bike so that they could have some more oats. Doesn't show the power in any of those things, if there's never any competition. And so Jesus, instead of taking all his disciples out of this world, rescuing us and taking us right to heaven, he lets us see and use the power of his means of grace, his word and sacrament, in real life situations. God knows our life is not like some horse following grandma out to the barn. He knows very well that when a man and a woman stand before God's altar and promise lifelong faithfulness to each other as to God, that they are going to need a lot of help from God and his power to live a sanctified, holy life with each other. You got two stubborn sinners under the same roof. That's going to be hard. God knows. So the statistics of those who worship and pray together are really awesome compared to our society at large. Maybe you've heard that before, that, you know, the divorce rate is slightly below 50% now, but that's because a lot of young people bought that lie of Friends, the show, that you could just live together and not be married, and this was going to be so good, and now they're finding that psychologically that just messes you up. Well, 50% divorce rate, slightly lower. Second marriages are like 75% divorce rate. Third time marriages are 90%. They think it's going to get better, but they're just carrying the baggage. You know what it is for couples who worship and pray together and are into God's word? It's 1 in 1,000. That's the statistical. Because the Lord knows you need his help. You come to confess your sins and receive the Lord's Holy Supper. God knows that you've got a target on you. Satan wants to tear you out of the skies, rip faith out of your heart. You're up against it. So Jesus is praying, and he is still praying, because he is now ascended to God's right hand, where it says he intercedes for us. Constantly interceding, and he says to the Heavenly Father, I am coming to you now. I am saying these things in the world so that they may be filled with my joy. I have given them your word, your name. God's name is his reputation, and the unfolded name of God is his word, the Bible. So the Bible really is God's name and his reputation. I've given them that, and the world hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I am not asking that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Remember that expression, in the world but not of the world? So the Lord promises that in his protection and by his power, sanctifying our witness, nothing bad can ever really actually get through to God's own. He says that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. So for your eternal welfare as a child of God, he will make everything turn out for your blessing. You literally cannot have a bad day when you have the Lord Jesus guiding and directing your life. Might seem that way at times. You might not see the blessing right away. But we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, that are in the world but not of the world. So he says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. You remember the old cordless phones? We still use them here in, at our house too, but there's something about these that can be a problem if these two little contacts down here don't quite, when they get dirty, you can't get the connection between them and keep this thing charged up. Maybe you've had that happen before. And so, you know, a Q-tip and a little alcohol to clean those contacts will make that connect again, the way the Lord Jesus sanctifies our souls, that we stay connected to our Heavenly Father through his word. Sanctify them through the truth is kind of like clean those contacts so that these people stay wired to you. They don't just hear the word and let it go in one ear and out the other. They take it to heart. They think about it in between times. They share it with others. He's empowering our witness. Cleaning the contacts on a phone in Dominican Republic, when the director of our Wells World Missions, Larry M. Schlomer, is that right, was down there as a missionary, he said that 23 out of 24 hours, the power was off. His family remembers that when the power went on, as it did every evening, nobody knew exactly when, but the whole capital city of Santiago would break out in cheers because now they had light. But this got into the mindset of his kids so that when they were home on furlough, his son was sitting in the dark in grandma's living room. And then grandma comes in and flips the switch. And the son of the missionary is surprised. Oh, the power's on. It always is on here. But the gist of his sermon was, our problem as Christians is we don't realize the power is on in God's word all the time. Jesus is here praying for us to be sanctified and empowered through that connection with God's word. So sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself. I keep my contacts clean with God. I sanctify myself so that they may also be sanctified by the truth. He empowers our witness so that you, when it comes time to speak for the Lord, can pick up the phone and talk to whoever is there that needs your help or witness to the Lord as fearlessly as you pick up that phone. As you learn about Jesus and his love and his power for you and you realize, he put me here. He sent me to this place. I have to tell members sometimes, don't ask for the pastor to be there because he put you there. Sometimes the pastor just gives too much at once. It's like trying to drink from a fire hose. The Lord wants you to just be there with your witness so that they get a little bit and a little bit, and that's how the Lord will bless them and make their faith grow stronger. It's awesome how the Lord does that. And no age limit on this. He does it with little kids too. So you can imagine sitting in this huge sanctuary of St. John's, Minneapolis for that ascension service. And the service is beginning and there's some liturgical parts. I don't remember just exactly what was in there. I just remember that there came to the point when that word A-M-E-N needed to be said. And perfectly on time, with that little voice from the back, some of you who were there, the kids remember this. There was this little amen. And everybody laughed. And I thought, you mean there's another child at this congregation who does the same thing? Sure enough, little Michael was sitting with his parents when we all went out. And yes, from the heart of a child, that word that means this is solid, this is true. This is Jesus' prayer for you and for all eternity. And he wants your life to be as natural and fearless as the little one who says, Amen. I say to you, Amen.